Welcome to The Daily Drive. This show is dedicated to keeping you educated, informed, and most importantly, driven to succeed. We want your feedback, so call us at 1-800-437-5121. Everyone on The Daily Drive Show team hopes you enjoy this show. Here's your host, Ken Knorr.
Welcome to The Daily Drive. I hope that you are having a fantastic day. I know that I am. You know what? It is a total life changer when you believe that you're having the best day of your life every day of your life. And you need to adopt that. Todd and I had a great conversation about that pre-call before our interview began yesterday. But we're going to continue the interview with Todd Blaschke, the Chief Operating Officer of TigerGraph, and we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday.
Data could predictively, over time, and this all gets into AI and some really deep stuff, but you're able to start predicting behavior and looking at, you know, patterns that are happening about the way that a piece of news might be permeating right now and go, you know, this thing's following almost the same path as a piece of fake news. It might be suspect.
Absolutely. You know, as the world continues, you know, in the acceleration of digital flows of data coming in and changing very fast, and you want to be able to capture and analyze that data, the patterns that you're able to identify, and as you pointed out with machine learning or artificial intelligence, what that is in the most simplest terms is looking at patterns based on historical data. And the more historical data you have, the more enriched insights you will have. And then you can use that historical information in order to do predictive analytics and predict things in the forward because you have a broader set of information as a basis point. Another aspect that we see customers use graph for is a term that you'll hear more and more about is explainable AI or explainable artificial intelligence. The notion of AI that's in a black box that's not being used, that is not going to work for most organizations. They need to explain to their auditors, to their governance groups, how is this outcome determined? I need to know where the data came from, what were the algorithms that were used in order to get to that result. Graph is a natural component to explain how you created this AI outcome. And so again, is going back to looking at historical data, which you use to develop the patterns, and the patterns then can be fed into systems such as AI to automate some of those processes.
I love this stuff because I'm a data guy. I'm an engineer by training, and I just can't help myself. I love this stuff. I have to be careful, though. The audience is like, their eyes are glazing over right now. They're like, what are you guys talking about? You were brought in to TigerGraph, and I can't help but notice online that you're, you know, they, I don't know if this is by design or if it's, you know, it says what they say on the on your bio, if you will. It's still your mission. It talked about your focus is on, you know, growing the company. You have a pretty extensive marketing and sales kind of oriented background. What is your, just generally, and maybe a few words, what is your mission? What is your main goal for TigerGraph in the next year or so?
You know, at the basic level, our mission is to help companies find better insights and outcomes of their data. We've been in this movement where you hear these terms, data lakes and business intelligence, trying to get information in the data. The real value here is the relationships within the data. And we see that as an end user. When you're getting a better recommendation, when you're getting a better friend request, when a bank that you're doing business with recognizes you have multiple accounts within that bank, and they can come back to you and say, you know, Ken, you have accounts in their private business, their investment business, their commercial business. Well, we could package this up now because we know you better and provide you better servicing because we better understand your relationship. That is what our goal and mission is as a company, is to provide this tooling that companies can use to make better sense and insight in their data so that they could help drive new insights and better services for their customers.
How about you as the COO? What's your mission internally? What is the direction internally you're trying to take the organization? Are we in a pivot? Are we making changes? Or are we augmenting some things they've already been getting done and getting them and doing them better? Are you focused on improving a particular internal sales side of it? Or what is your mission as the COO?
So when I joined the company, I was the first non-engineer joining the company. The company had been in what we call stealth mode, developing this product for the last 5 years. So they developed this really cool, you know, we've already geeked out a little bit on the product in the previous conversation, really cool thing. The challenge for me joining was bringing this product to market and getting it into customers' hands, while at the same time building and enhancing the culture of the company. So one of the key values that I'm bringing to the company and that I've helped set up here as part of the leadership team is values that we work on as an overall organization now, because we are a global company. We have folks in Europe, in Asia, in the U.S., is to set up a culture that looks at what we do from a customer's point of view. And so from our number one value is we set it up that way is if you're building something, you know, if you're building something, why are you building it? If you're selling something, why are you selling it? What is the benefit? It's not that you may think it's the coolest thing in the world. It's what the customer cares about. What is it? How is it going to help them solve that problem? And that becomes an ongoing process to help and coach, you know, the different groups here, sales, engineering, marketing, to have this common view and make sure we practice that. So as we're growing, we're doing many, many things very fast. We need to make sure we're doing the right things and it goes back to looking at your core values. Are we doing these things to benefit the customer or doing it just because we think it's cool? And that becomes an important mark for everybody to think about. Why am I doing this? Is this something the customers are asking for? Or is this something that I'm doing because I kind of like doing it? And that really helps set sail on the course, because I think about from a sailing point of view, I want to go from one place to another. I can zigzag back and forth. That's going to take a lot longer. Or if I could just set sail in that direction, I'll get there faster. And so that's one of the pieces, you know, brought in, as we've been building this company, is setting up these values and using the values. It's not just a poster that's on a wall in the company, but it's making these values that we live and breathe on a day-to-day basis.
I've got to imagine if you were the first, if you will, non-engineer into the building, and, you know, looking at the leadership team and doing a little bit of, like I said, read-in before I met with you, and you're walking in with some really brilliant minds there and motivation to do what they do. Is driven by, I would imagine, a passion for technology. So you've got to leverage that we're doing it because it's cool and that it feels good and I like to do these kind of really geeky things and I love to geek out as well. But you're now trying to tie that in and make sure that you have that business case, the customer-centric focus going along, marrying that up to all of that. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Exactly. Our CEO has 30 plus patents to his name in database management. He is brilliant. The other executives, many of them have PhDs, extremely smart technical individuals. And coming in with sales DNA, to help monetize this product, bring it to market. There's building the proof of what, you know, of getting their buy-in, because engineers are, you know, are looking at sales as, well, what does sales really do? And, you know, and then what is the next function? You need sales engineers. What does sales engineers do? Why do we need marketing? The product should just sell itself. And you, there's the internal side of building those relationships to develop that trust. So, you know, so that the other, you know, engineers and the co-founders trust me, because then it allows me to make some other decisions. And a big part of that is bringing them in the process. So that, so, you know, my CEO or my head of engineering, helping them understand why we need to do something and bring them into the thought process and the decision making on non-engineering related activities helps get their commitment. And then they also then start seeing the value behind it, because you're showing them the proof of the results of what you're doing. And that's an important part, because that, if you don't have consensus and agreement there, everything else will just crumble down the road if you don't have this type thing. And we've spent a lot of time building that. In fact, I got to know the CEO for many months before joining the company. And that, you know, we spent a lot of time working on different pieces of the business. He asked for a sales plan, how I would plan to grow the business, staffing. We looked at press activities. There was a lot of work I was doing, and that was a way of building a relationship to make sure that we were, you know, simpatico and we really could riff off of each other. And that, and so then once it became official, I joined on, it felt like we've been working together for a long time. And I think that was a real good way to build a relationship before, you know, before just, you know, jumping in as, you know, the first non-engineer. You're the sales guy, if you will, and you're trying to share with, you know, many engineers what value you.
I got to tell you, so I'm a data guy. I've kind of said that I'm a little bit of a geek, system engineer by, you know, training. And one of the things that I love to say and that I will say to my team is I prefer to say I know rather than I think. Don't come to me with I think. Come to me with I know, because I'm data. But you having to deal with these PhDs surrounding data probably have got more proof issues always, because you're going to have to prove it with data, and they're going to go, but what about this flaw in your analysis, sir? That can always be fun and challenging, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. It's, you know, it sort of brings up the second part, is it's leaving your ego at the door. If we're all committed, when we work on a document, or whether it's technical or this, we will use, you know, we'll set up, you know, a Google Doc, and we'll all contribute. And nobody is trying to be the winner or the alpha. It's, we all know we want a better outcome. And I think by having that philosophy, it makes it work much better. And that's part of the culture, where we want to keep the organization as flat as we can, and that it doesn't matter what your title is. You know, I joke and call myself the chief bottle washer. Whatever it takes, if I need to clean a room before a meeting or something else, I'll just do what it takes. And that's the same can-do attitude the other executives have brought in, and the CEO, who's the co-founder, has brought in. So there's not the ego of, you missed something, I'm going to make you feel stupid. It's, I'm going to add something or change something because I think we can make it better. And that is also a tremendous value that comes in into everything we do, because it's not trying to control and validate your value there. That's understood. We know that you're smart. We know that you can bring in value, drive it, own it, get input, collaborate, and be proud of what you've done, because there's more than enough work for everybody to do. And having that set up as a culture from an executive team down has really helped the other folks on the team really embrace that with, you know, day-to-day things, you know, whether it's, you know, looking at the details for going to a trade show, or a marketing campaign, or a new white paper that's being written. It's just let's get it done. And one of our core values here is focusing on craftsmanship. And that word is also very important with us because that makes it, you, whatever you do, you want quality. And if you have that passion, you can own it, but take advantage of the other wealth of knowledge around you to help make it even better.
We never made that pivot, and I said I was going to get into you personally, so I'm going to do a little bit of that here, and actually we're kind of running towards the tail end of the time, and I'm doing this interview, but I've been enjoying the path we've just been following, so it's working. I don't care. In one single word, characterize your life as a leader.
Gritty.
Gritty. I like that one. Married or single?
Married.
How long?
24 years.
Kids, yes?
I hear you say two daughters.
Right, two daughters. Congratulations. How old are they?
I have one that's a freshman in college, and the other one's a freshman in high school.
Dinner and movie out or dinner at home and Netflix?
Dinner and movie out.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars. It was the first movie I saw in the theater 7 times.
Oh, wow.
When it first came out, you know, I was, let's see, I was 78, I think, or 77. So I was 8 or 9 years old. I saw it once, and then I went back and I saw it 7 more times in the movie theater. It just gripped me. And I've never seen another movie that many times in a movie theater in my life. So that just spoke to me.
Back in the first movie that did that, and I don't know that I'm proud to say that it did it, The Last Dragon. It was The Last Dragon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a crazy little cult flick of the 80s. You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be?
I would be I'd be turquoise.
Turquoise, all right. What are your hobbies?
Hobbies, very big into sports. Football's number one. Of the sports, love to, work out. My wife and I, that's one of our big activities that we like to do. It helps gets us going each day. So we get up early and work out together. And then live activities. I'm a huge fan of going to live events, whether that's musical theater, whether that's plays, concerts. There's something about a live performance that is mesmerizing. So I love to do, go to as many of those as I can, whether they're community to Broadway shows. There's just something about that moment that's live, that's raw, that in this day and age where everything's digital or stored, to see that thing raw, you'll never see that same thing again because it'll always be different.
Who's your team?
My team is the Niners.
The Niners, like me, I'm a Dolphins fan. We have had a long, long drought of being great, but have a history of being great. You guys got obviously the Chargers are doing not too bad over there right now, and the Rams aren't doing too bad either. But you and I, we've chosen historic greats, but the current, not so much.
Yeah, the current. Oh, it's painful. It's painful.
It is. Not really. I love it anyway. I'm a diehard.
I do. Man. I still watch it. I still watch the games. I follow a team religiously. As you follow the team over a period, you become more of an armchair quarterback because you can see these patterns happening again and going, why are they doing this? Why are they making this call? What goes down will eventually come up, and the question is when.
Wonderfully frustrating. There's no better game in the world. But come on. You know what I like to say? I like to say that I am going to make arrangements for the Miami Dolphins to be my pallbearers so they can let me down one more time.
I might have to steal that. I've not heard that one before.
Yeah, you go ahead. You borrow that one too. Yeah. Not quite.
When I think of the Dolphins, I still just think of the Pet Detective movie, Laces Out, and when they kidnap Dan Marino.
We've not had any success since Dan Marino, and you could probably do that same rewind back to and pick a quarterback for you, which I'd go back, Steve Young?
Steve Young, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been frustrating over times.
Wonderfully frustrating.
I used to go to the games when they were Candlestick, and then when they moved to Levi's, the pricing just was ridiculous. And I was going with a friend whose dad had season tickets since 1956 when the Niners were at Kezar. And so when they made the move to Levi's a few years back, the prices went up over 300%. The PFL licenses went through the roof. And he even said, you know what, we're going to stop, you know, 60 years of being season ticket holders and not renew. It was a defining moment. I mean, we still follow the team, but we've not gone to a game at Levi's since.
The NFL has definitely made it into a very expensive pastime if you want to be a fan that goes all the time, you know, to the games themselves. It is what it is, but it's a wonderfully frustrating, and you have to realize that it's wonderfully frustrating for, what is it, 31 out of 32 teams every year. There's only one winner. It's nice when it's nice when you get a string of them, and you and I happen to, be fans of teams that we can actually say we have a ring, as compared to others, which we can say, yeah, how many you got? Yeah. Okay. What makes you happy besides the Niners win?
What else would make me happy? I'd be happy to see the San Francisco Giants have a good year and have no injuries during spring training. When Madison Bumgarner broke his finger in spring training last year, you sort of looked at that as a bellwether for the year, and unfortunately that proved correct. So I'd love to see the San Francisco Giants have no injuries. And what would also make me happy is seeing the Oakland A's have a new stadium and stay local. This is where on the sports topic. Having a happy wife is always number one. Happy wife, happy life. That's why I've been married so long.
Good man.
You get it. That's number one. But we
yes,
on the
it
sports
is.
Topic.
Sure.
But always, being able to enjoy life with family. Family's first. I'm a family guy. And if you having a strong foundation there allows all these other, fun things to happen.
But how long have you been now with Tiger Graph?
I've been with Tiger Graph about a year and a half.
About a year and a half. So it's not quite ready for me to ask you the question. But if I were to ask you the question in 3 years from now, the answer might be different. But I'm going to ask you the question anyway. A year and a half is still long. It's long enough for me to ask this question. You're able to, you work around some amazing geniuses. I have to imagine, and being out in California, it's got to be a little bit like a Big Bang Theory, and for the rest of us to understand what it's like to work around, people that are incredibly brilliant. So you're able to walk out of your office after this interview and tap on your guys and say, hey, look, build me a time machine, and they do, and they build you a time machine. But it's only going to take you to one spot, and it's only going to take you there for a few minutes. It's going to give you 15 minutes with your former self a year and a half ago, the day you walked in the door. What would you tell yourself a year and a half ago?
What I tell myself, good question. I would tell myself to believe in what you're doing, to believe in the potential, and maintain that belief. I think when you engage in anything, coming back, years from now, say, I'm glad you believed. Because there's a gut reaction. There's an instinct behind that, the word belief. And I think everything has to start with that. Because if you don't believe, then it's not going to happen. But if you believe, you're going to give it your essence, your core, your soul, if you will, to work to make something happen. But it has to start with belief. And 3 years from now, looking back and say, hey, I am glad you believed, because then you can look back and go, here's my growth, my personal growth, the company growth, the people's, growth here, on the team. You can look at all those things, but it's a journey, so believe in it. I would say believe and enjoy the journey.
I love that. And I'm glad that you brought that in there, and used that word journey. I think so often today, as leaders of companies, CEOs, entrepreneurs, all of that, we get so mired down in trying to figure out what we need to do next. We're so focused on, the GPS map of where we're going and what, we need to turn right up here, turn left up there, go through 30 miles an hour. We forget to lift our head up and look out the window. enjoy the ride a little. Because we're blessed to be on an incredible ride. And here we are doing something incredibly fun, productive, maybe creating jobs. Maybe we're creating great products, whatever it is we're doing. Man, that's a great thing. Enjoy it for a minute, you know? Well, if for what else, why not, right? If you can't enjoy it, what's the point? So I love that. It's a journey. And when you're taking a journey, gotta look out the window. You've got two daughters. You must know. You've been on a road trip. You say, pick your head up off that phone, that cell phone, man. Look where we are right now. Do you see this? Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's important.
We gotta do that to ourselves, right?
Life happens, and I would like to be present as life unfolds. Being caught up in everything takes it away. So I work hard, and then I like to relax. And you need to have those moments, but also when you're traveling, I like how you said, look out the window. Life is going by you.
Yep. Yeah, but we're here. Look at it for a minute and enjoy the moment, you know. Like I said, wonderfully frustrating. We may not win, every football game, but man, I get to watch the game and I'll take it and I'll be. Todd, let me just say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. You've got a company to run and, you know, you've got things to do, missions to accomplish, new organizations to share with TigerGraph. And you've taken the time out to come on our show, man. And it's very much appreciated.
Well, thank you for having me, Ken. I've enjoyed the conversation here.
Well, I hope that you had a great time listening to the interview with Todd. I know that I did. It was really cool to meet him and really, really interesting what he's doing. And it's kind of interesting to find out a little bit about him personally, too. Anyway, I hope that you join us tomorrow on the Daily Drive and that you get your drive on. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, That Company.
Why is That Company the white label digital marketing provider for some of the biggest agencies in the industry? Because we get results, we retain clients, and we deliver profitability. Visit www.thatcompany.com to find out how we can make your agency more profitable.
If you want to give us feedback, call us now at 1-800-437-5121 or drop by dailydriveshow.com. Make sure you add us to your Alexa daily briefing skill. Don't forget that you can listen to us live every day on WQBQ at 7:30 a.m. The show wouldn't be possible without the Daily Drive Show team, executive producer Jake Perrick, web guru Taj Royer, and the audio man with the plan, Shoddy. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow.